Next, we have the spoof documentary about fictional un-PC cricket star Dave Podmore. On a chaotic overseas tour, which I get the impression they always are, the cricketer's private life takes a turn for the worst. From 2001, it's Dave Podmore's Cricket Fix.
Podmore didn't want to go, but he's walking off now, and oh, he must feel absolutely awful. What an extraordinary dismissal. The county chairman just marched out onto the field and gave Podmore his P45, and that was that.
The champagne moment of my career obviously has to be breaking Ian Bolton's nickname record. There's Pod, obviously, Poddy, Podderoony, Podman, The Podman, Pod Almighty, Plodmore, PC Pod, Poddle Socks, Poddo, Pod You Like, and when I was at Glamorgan, they called me Pod.
There seems to be a bit of a light problem, and Podmore's asking for it, and the umpire's giving it to him. Well, now, I think they're going to have problems with the smoke from Podmore's Panatella. And they're coming off. Yes, well, you can't play in those conditions, that's quite right.
Pol Pod, Pod to the Gastropod, and when I was at Middlesex under Mike Brearley, Vita Sackville West.
After England's triumphs last year against the might of the West Indies and Zimbabwe's plucky part-timers, the big question was, how would we fare in the steamy heat of the Indian subcontinent? To find out, I turned to one person who was determined not to be left out of the forthcoming proceedings.
Dave Podmore Fact File.
Pod has been on 14 overseas tours. He averages 2.3 TV sets thrown out of a hotel window per match.
Stat fact.
Poddy has let off a total of 43 fire extinguishers before breakfast.
Fact fact.
The Podman notches up an appearance in a hotel lift, in the nude, every other test abroad.
I caught up with England's evergreen tourist as he packed his bags and prepared to leave home.
Can you just come and sit on this suitcase, Andy?
Okay. You seem to be packing woolens and cold weather gear, Pod.
It can get pretty parky out there.
In Karachi?
Market Harbour, Andy. Thanks. Yeah, I'll be sleeping at the office for the next few nights.
Is that to prepare yourself mentally for the challenge ahead?
Yeah, don't expect it to be an easy separation from Jackie. Custody of the dogs, that's point number one. Well, it's point number one, two, three, four and five, actually.
This is very sad news, Pod.
Well, it's the price you pay for having a free press, I'm afraid. If some tabloid chooses to sell a few extra copies by making up a story about myself in a moat house with a hospitality girl I've never even met, there's not much I can do about it.
You could sue the paper.
Yeah, I do a fishing column for them, so I'll be cutting off my nose to spite my face, really, Andy. Now, if you look in that cupboard, you'll find a couple of hundred stumps.
Oh. Is this the Dave Podmore souvenir stump collection?
Part of it, Andy. I usually grab a stump or two at the end of the match. Bloody handy for charity auctions. And I mean, if a match is rained off, you can pick up all six sometimes. It really is literally help-yourself time. There's a boundary rope and a heavy roller out the back. I'll tell you what, she's not getting her hands on them either.
If I know you, Pod, you're not going to let a little domestic setback distract you from the winter tour that lies ahead.
Some of the lads find the need to take a winter off touring for the sake of their families. I prefer to recharge the batteries by taking a winter or two off marriage. Can you just get on the other end of that big cheque, Andy?
Which one, Pod? There are framed benefit cheques all round the room.
The big sod above the fireplace. 228 grand, Derbyshire, 1989.
It's really uncanny, Pod.
What's that, Andy?
The way the O's follow you round the room.
Tell you what, every time she looks at that dust mark, it'll remind her of what she's not getting.
With the tour party due to depart in less than 24 hours, Pod's burning the midnight oil at his Academy of Cricketing Excellence as he finalises the arrangements.
Have you got 34 seats on a plane for Karachi? Via where? Anchorage and Hobart? You are joking. Go on then, hold them for me. Actually, could they be by the toilet? Because some of them are getting on a bit. Yeah, good. What? Yeah, just be down here to you too, matey.
It's an unusual touring experience for you, Pod. Your first time hosting a supporters' tour, rather than travelling as a player.
Yeah, I'll be on standby, obviously, for the test side in case of injuries. Ready to pull on the sweater with those three little lines on. Except if it was a day-night match, it'd be a blue shell suit with a Vodafone logo on the front. Tetley's on the back. Oh, and I'll have to get a tin of blue paint for my pants as well, obviously. Are the gloves blue?
One of them is.
As regards the hosting side, it's just wading through the logistics of a major international tour. I'll be organising the Banana Down the Swimming Trunks competition, elephant rides, ruined temples, bird shooting, whatever. Trip to Pakistan's premier chemical weapons facility.
Really?
Yeah, a bit of a lollipop for the tour host, that. But generally speaking, just making sure everyone has a lot of fun. Oh, and we've got a bouncy mosque. That's definite.
Great. Dave Podmore's been there and done that. His memories of his first tour were vividly captured in an audio diary on which I had the very great privilege of collaborating with Pod. As Radio Leicester listeners will confirm, Pod recalls his first tour of the subcontinent as if it was yesterday, when going abroad for the fresh-faced youngster was like visiting a foreign country. England's campaign to the subcontinent began as it was to end, and indeed as it was to be in the middle as well, dramatically.
Sport now, and a surprise call-up for the 39-year-old Dave Podmore. The chairman of selectors said it was a decision which had been taken with great reluctance, but the circumstances...
Incredible way to get the nod, really. Mr. Dexter phoned me up out of the blue and told me that six of the England boys had gone down with dysentery while they were checking in at the Air India desk at the airport. I think they reckon the culprit was a dodgy luggage trolley or something, but I didn't give a damn about the whys and wherefores. All that mattered to me was that at last I had a genuine shout for a sniff of a nod.
It had taken the selectors quite a while to track Podmore down.
I usually spent my winters in South Africa, but at the start of the 90s, there were a lot of political ramifications going on there that frankly made the place a lot less attractive to me. So, well, thank you very much, Mr. Mandela.
Instead, he'd accepted an invitation to play in Cambodia for Pol Pot's National Breweries League.
A lot of players had turned down the opportunity of skippering the Khmer Rouge boys, but I thought that was very narrow-minded. I preferred to go to Cambodia to see for myself. Well, paradise. It's the only word to describe it.
Did you meet Pol Pot?
Oh, very nice guy. Potters. Big cricket fan. And he's some very interesting ideas about how to crack down on slow over rates. So, very sorry to leave Cambodia, very much so.
For the new boy in the England squad, day one of the Indian tour was a profound culture shock.
It was the poverty, really. Driving along in the coach, you know, the squalor and the... Well, the degradation of the people came as a terrible shock to the system, but let's say we were soon out of Luton and on our way to the airport.
India, 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 India.
After a long flight in which Podmore only failed to smash David Boone's drinking record because the aircraft's bar ran out of Drambuie, the new recruit arrived at the hotel in Bombay to a nasty surprise.
There was a message at reception saying that my whole family had been killed in a car crash. It wasn't until about an hour later that I realised it was the lads winding me up. It was absolutely brilliant. I mean, you've got to be able to have a laugh on tour.
We wanted to make Poddy feel welcome and we felt that was the best way of breaking the ice.
It was this kind of meticulous attention to detail which was to characterise the tour, as the England captain remembers.
Well, we knew we had to get the basics right, so first morning we had the lads straight down the pool, trying on the Bermuda shorts, pushing each other off of the sun loungers.
Well, I made myself very popular. I brought a batch of Blake 7 videos with me, so I would watch them. And then one afternoon we went for a ride in a horse and cart type effort, only with a bloke on a push bike instead of a horse. Spammed and me had a race with Judgy and Lammy, but they stuffed us, so we poured water over our driver. That was reasonable fun.
On the field, early setbacks against Bangalore under-13s and Nagpur Ladies College dented morale.
Oh yes, Bangalore, that was a struggle. I couldn't get into my Len Dayton at all, so I switched to a Jack Higgins for the next game. Got to about page 11 against the Ladies College and then it was the same story. Got into double figures and then I just lost the plot.
The cracks were beginning to show. Then came the first of many bombshells which were to blight the tour.
Yes, very bad news from India, I'm afraid, Gary. England have lost every one of the boxes containing their fancy dress costumes for the Christmas party. It's a simply rotten start to the tour, particularly after the presidential assassination.
It was the last thing we needed on top of the hotel video chewing up my Blake 7 tapes. I mean, you know, you cannot play cricket under those circumstances.
But on the eve of the first one-day international, the manager was confident about England's tactics.
Yeah, well, we'll have a look, you know. We've got to have a bit of a look.
After a record-breaking run of one-day defeats, the caravan moved to Jodhpur,
where a game against India under-21s was rained off after four overs. Under the new experimental rules, New Zealand won by an innings and 132 runs. A turning point.
Yeah, it was Jodhpur where we turned the corner, no question. We got the result against the run of play. Our Stubble had got past the nasty, itchy stage and we was really starting to click as a unit.
For Dave Podmore too, things were looking up.
I managed to get hold of a Jeffrey Archer. I mean, what can you say? I couldn't put it down. Although, obviously, I still had to stick the Len Dayton cover around the front just to keep the sponsors happy.
With morale riding high, alas, the inevitable affliction, which seems inevitably to strike visitors to the subcontinent, inevitably struck.
Yeah, Delhi Belly. It was a puzzle because all we'd been eating was the saveloys and the fish cakes that Gucci had bought at his local chippy in Chelmsford 5 weeks earlier. I dread to think what would have happened if we touched any of the local food.
The team which finally staggered onto the field for the first test contained the manager, the physio, a lad from the Barmy Army, and, almost unbelievably, his girlfriend Paula.
Well, she added a fair degree of pulchritude to the proceedings, which never goes amiss.
England's most successful ever left-hander takes up the story.
As well as being by no means unattractive, she was distinctly on the far from unuseful side of ineffective at getting bat on ball, which isn't exactly the worst kind of card to have up your sleeve when you're trying to win a test match.
Despite Dave Podmore nipping in with one for 145 and a spunky nine from Paula, England lost inside 2 days, and the manager faced a hostile press conference.
Yeah, where does English cricket go from here?
Yeah, well, we'll have another look. You know, you've got to have a bit of a look.
And so to Calcutta for the second test. With India 741 for two, the match was sadly curtailed by a riot.
There are bottles flying over the boundary now, and it's very dangerous, and frankly, it's a disgraceful way for an England team to behave towards their hosts.
Oh, we apologised to the Indian Cricket Board and promised the lads wouldn't get out of order again. End of story.
But it wasn't to be the end of England's woes. They lost the next two matches and travelled to Bombay for the fifth test, desperate to restore some pride. As the players were about to take the field, they received the shattering news that the fancy dress costumes had been impounded by the customs authorities and wouldn't arrive in time for Christmas.
We had a meeting in the dressing room and we decided not to take the field until we had a formal apology from the Indian government. Plus some false beards and moustaches, and Devon Malcolm insisted on a replacement Shirley Bassey outfit.
On the third morning, there was still no play, with India threatening to break off diplomatic relations with Great Britain and mounted police ringed round the boundary. It was an eerie echo of another England campaign 60 years earlier, the infamous Bodyline Tour.
England's cricketers caused a sensation at the Christmas fancy dress party in Adelaide. Wearing a blonde wig, suspenders and a so-called bodyline corset, England speedster Harold Larwood steered England to victory with his impression of Marlene Dietrich.
Well, I went along with it because we wanted to beat the Aussies, and Mr. Jardine come to me, he said, Harold, I want you to wear this. And it were like a basque sort of thing. But Gubby Alano, he refused, you know, he wouldn't wear one.
Well, Douglas had this bee in his bonnet about us wearing these wretched corsets, and I simply wouldn't have it. I said, look here, Douglas, either you let me go as Lady Godiva, or I'm getting on the next so-and-so ship home.
The corset were all right. It were the stilettos. On those hard wickets, you see, I turned my ankle over and, whoa, well, that were it. That were me finished.
The Aussies may not like England's tactics, but you have to admit, they're very effective.
In 1991, the spectre of Bodyline loomed large over the Wankhede Stadium. Fortunately, Christmas Day was a rest day, a chance for tempers to cool, and for Dave Podmore, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to put all the disappointments of the last 2 months behind him.
Oh, Poddy pulled all the stops out. It was a phenomenal effort.
It's just one of those reflex things that either come off or they don't. I don't know what it was gave me the idea of looking for a novelty shop in Bombay, but, well, fortunately, it all came right on the day.
The winner is Dave Podmore at Lawrence Arabia. Well done, Dave.
Got a telegram from Harold Larwood, and here's my name on the trophy, look. D.V. Podmore, along with W.G. Grace as Lily Langtry, P.B.H. May as Audrey Hepburn, and, well, that's there for all time now. No one can ever take that away. Ever.
A tour to remember indeed, eh, Pod? Sitting here in your offices at the Dave Podmore Academy, I can't help thinking you've come a long way.
Ah, very much so, Andy. Yeah. It was on the plane back from that first tour that I met Jackie.
I thought you met her in the Odor Eater's tent at Ilkeston.
No, 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 no. You're thinking of the current Mrs. Podmore. Although for how long that's going to be is anyone's guess. Yeah. No, Jackie and I met on British Caledonian, because she was on the Far Eastern route then. Jackie Mark II I met on the pre-season trip to Lanzarote.
So there were three Jackies?
Correct. No, tell a lie, one was called Nikki. Two Ks, and boy, did she let you know it. But, I mean, they're all chalk and cheese. Well, different airlines for a start. But Jackie, as I say, was long haul. Nikki worked for Manx Air out of Ringway, but you'd have thought it was Heathrow the way she carried on. I mean, when she started signing her name with those little flowers over the eyes, well, I'm afraid I was straight down the emergency chute.
And it's the arms of Jackie number three. Mm. But cricket-wise, Pod, do you think touring's changed much over the years?
Oh, very much so, Andy, yeah. I mean, obviously, you still see a lot of begging.
Oh, that is sad.
Mm. I mean, to see an international cricketer going down on his knees, pleading with an Indian bookie to take him on, I mean, well, it breaks your heart.
You have email.
That'll be from Salim. Have a look, Andy.
Yeah?
Yep. That's the official tour party T-shirts. Come and have a look at the design, Andy. It's good, isn't it?
2001, a medium pace policy. You have to think about it a bit.
Yeah. Well, it's quality merchandise. $9.99 to you, sir. 150% pure cotton. I could have got them made 100%, but that wouldn't really be Pod's style, would it? I got him screwed to the deck on the price as well. 48 pence each.
Don't you have any qualms about using sweated labour from the subcontinent, Pod?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that, no. Well, Salim's workshop's only three doors down, Unit 42. Encourage local industry, Andy, that's what it's about.
Right, bedtime. If you'll excuse me, Mr. Hamer. Got a 4 a.m. flight tomorrow morning.
Do you want to stay at mine?
What?
Well, if you don't want to sleep in the office, my mum can make you a bed up at my place.
You got any Sunny Delight?
No, she's diabetic. Anyway, it turns you orange.
No, I'll keep down here on the benefit check. It's good for me back, anyway. Just have one. Last one.
Dateline, East Midlands Airport, 2:37 a.m. Check-in time for Pod's England supporters tour of the subcontinent. Planned as it is, with all the meticulousness of a military campaign, as on any tour, the management has to deal with the unexpected.
But you just can't legislate for this, Andy. I mean, half of them aren't fit.
What's the problem, Pod?
Well, look at her. I mean, if she wanted a ramp, she should have informed me. And he's grossly overweight. He's been told, right, if he doesn't lose 2 stone in the next 10 minutes, we either leave him behind or the Viking helmets and pink wigs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but she'll leave us with approximately one Elvis mask and a nun's habit between 32 of us, eh? It's no way for a Barmy army to appear on an international stage, Andy. It won't look Barmy, we'll just look bloody stupid.
Well, I still think it's an impressive achievement, getting together so many senior citizens so early in the morning.
I'll tell you what, Andy, they're going to be stuck for an audience at Countdown this afternoon.
Come on, wakey-wakey, there's our plane, chuff-chuff-chuff, come on.
A few of them seem a bit upset they haven't been put by a window.
There aren't any windows where they're standing.
Standing?
Yeah, they paid a supplement for that.
Why?
Well, they don't want to get deep vein thrombosis, do they? Not on top of everything else.
Hello, welcome on Air Uzbekistan. Please start smoking now. Bye-bye.
Early doors yet, Andy, but you've got to be pleased with the way the tour's going, touch wood.
The plane appears to have been around a bit.
Yeah, I've done a bit of homework on the Air Uzbekistan boys. Turns out the fleet's done a fair bit of service. This one started its career, I think, with Aeroflot, before moving on to El Al, then Air Malta, Sabena, Ryanair, back to Malta, couple of seasons with Spantax. Well, it probably represented more national airlines than I've represented counties.
Yeah, a ton of experience under its belt.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope that, like its well-known medium-paced passenger, it manages to land there or thereabouts.
This is a business, Andy. I mean, we've got a complimentary copy of Russian Brides magazine, bowl of cabbage soup, Comrade Borscht coming up on the projector any minute now.
Ooh, is that Tarkovsky?
Mr. Bean, Andy, in Russian. Now, watch your back. Here comes the samovar.
You take boiled sweet now.
A cabin attendant, I think it's fairly safe to assume you won't be marrying.
Well, I don't know. Oh, that reminds me. I'd better ring Jackie.
I thought you two weren't speaking.
Well, I just want to see what sort of night the dog's had.
Pod, you're not supposed to use mobile phones during a flight.
Jackie? How are the boys?
Pod?
Запретно звонить по телефону, запретно.
Pod?
Oh, you're not serious. Well, how did he swallow it?
What was the TV remote doing on the sofa anyway? I told you, Saxon is still growing. He'll eat anything under 5 foot above floor level, Jackie. I mean, this is irresponsible, you know. First of all, you leave him in the car outside Safeways, and now this. I mean, I'm going to have to put these things on the solicitor's list.
Pod, this is an emergency.
It's a bloody RSPCA job. Give us the phone, Andy, I'm talking.
In a corner of the mind of every cricketer who travels thousands of miles by air, there lurks the dread that sooner or later, disaster will strike. Our emergency landing at Shannon went without a hitch, but Pod was left to reflect on a near-death experience.
The thing is, you just never think it's going to happen to you. I mean, to hear that your own dog has swallowed a TV remote, I mean, it's... I don't know what the odds are against the Matsui 942C remote master lodging in the small intestine of a Rhodesian ridgeback, but... I mean, even if it was Ansi Cronje's dog, you wouldn't risk your bloody money, would you? Andy, can you...
Sure. What's going through your mind now, Pod?
Went out with Shannon once, nearly married her.
About Saxon swallowing the TV remote?
I'll tell you one thing, it'll do Jackie the world a good not to have the shopping channel for a few weeks. Although Channel 5 reception's brilliant, apparently.
Hmm. Do you have any thoughts about the International Cricket Council allowing wives and girlfriends on tour, but not dogs?
Well, it's medieval, Andy. I mean, there's a whole raft of dog-related issues, and until the powers that be recognise the right of a cricketer to bring his dog on tour, young sportsmen are going to look at what cricket has to offer, dog-wise, and maybe consider an alternative career in, say, darts, where you can take your dog in the camper and tie him up outside the pub.
Hmm. Should we be looking at flying out players' dogs for long weekends?
Well, Andy, I mean, you know, you've got a bunch of guys away from the dogs at home. OK, they might have the girlfriends with them, but, you know, they're going to be walking around town, maybe see a stray dog. He's taking it for a walk. Next thing you know, he's throwing it a stick and, well, I can wreck a guy's home life.
7 weeks into the tour and the tension is beginning to mount. Due to the delay at Shannon and the subsequent rerouting of the Air Uzbekistan flight via Reykjavik, Pod's team missed the Pakistan leg of England's tour. As tour manager, Pod, you've been under immense psychological pressure to get results.
Oh, very much so, Andy, and obviously it's been a big ask, given the way the tour's got off start-wise, but the set of the lads and lasses now, it's all about character. We've just got to dig deep, keep chins up, don't get disheartened, and hopefully we'll bounce back.
Which is exactly what you've done here in Baghdad.
Yeah, stroke of luck, the plane invading Iraqi airspace. In fact, being forced to land here at Saddam Hussein International Airport has turned out to be a real result. First-class facility. You can't not take your hat off to the Iraqi lads for the way they've prepared the transit lounge. Yes. And very much against the run of play, we finally got to see some cricket.
Who'd have thought they'd have Sky TV here in the terminal?
Yeah, you've got to take your chances when they arise, Andy. So, we've seen a bit of the first Sri Lankan test. Not as much as we'd like to, obviously, with the air raid taking out the transmitter, but a good 5 minutes. Well, enough to catch Hickey's innings.
Oh, dear, here we go again.
Right, come on, everybody, back down the shelter. Let's go, go, go!
On a personal note, Pod, I gather Saxon's not too well, poor fella.
No, not too clever, Andy. He's got to have an operation on his bowel. Frankly, it's touch and go.
Just what Dave Podmore didn't need on the back of the members of the tour party who've come down with Gulf War syndrome.
Yeah, but as I said before, Andy, you're always going to get motors. Ah, here we are.
Pod, you've locked me out.
There has been more positive reaction around the world to the ceasefire in Iraq and the news that Saddam Hussein has agreed to dismantle his nuclear weapons system. In addition, he has agreed to allow UN inspectors into Iraq on condition that the England cricketer Dave Podmore and his touring party is airlifted out of Baghdad within the next 24 hours. The Liberal Democrat leader...
It was an eerie echo of the eerie echo of Pod's earlier incident-packed tour of India. The big question now was, would the party make it to the third test?
I need 30 tickets to Colombo.
I'm afraid we lost Myrtle and Reg last night, Pod.
Huh? 28 tickets to Colombo, Sri Lanka. Now, please, you give me. Oh, God, this is hopeless.
What's the latest on Saxon, Pod?
Well, his condition's stable, but unless I can get Jeff Boycott to donate a couple of yards of intestine, and let's face it, he was always a selfish player, then there's probably no chance, but I've got to try. Look,
I give you money, Sahib.
It looks like a few thousand other Brits have beaten us to it. I mean, this must be one of the most photogenic steam trains on the subcontinent.
Yeah, that's all very well. Getting on is the problem. I mean, look, you see, there's Michael Palin having to sit on the roof. Clive Anderson, Judith Chalmers clinging onto the side. Angus Deaton's got a seat on it. But if you look down there, conditions in some of those Channel 4 carriages are, well, they're inhuman, to be frank.
Isn't that the League of Gentlemen on the footplate?
Yeah, well, there you are, you see, if your face fits. But if your name happens to be Dave Podmore, then it's all tickets sold, Effendi. Jackie thinks I'm enjoying myself.
But I'm right in thinking that relations between you have improved, what with all the anxiety about Saxon.
Not really, Andy, no. We're just trying to be adults for the sake of the dog and the TV remote.
Around the world in 80 first-class carriages. Take 32, stand by with champagne and cue Angus.
The final day of the deciding test was set up to be the most exciting in years. Pod, myself, and 19 surviving members of his party were there to witness it.
Come on, shift you along there.
Here at last, eh, Pod?
Told you we'd do it, Andy.
Well, it doesn't get much better than this. England needing only 74 to beat Sri Lanka and take the series, and all day to do it.
Yeah, pity we've got to leave in 10 minutes, but there it is.
Pardon?
Well, we've got to catch the flight home.
Oh.
Well, I tried to bung the umpires to finish early, but, quite frankly, some of their decisions, I mean, you don't know whether they're going to take a bribe or not. It's total chaos. And all we ask is consistency.
Well, it seems a shame when the cricket's building up to the most exciting climax since, Headingley 81.
Yeah. Come on, don't get too comfy. Chop, check-in time.
Nobody's even had a chance to get a suntan.
Well, we'll fill them up with Sunny Delight on the plane. No one will notice the difference. Come on.
We may have missed England's historic series-winning victory against Sri Lanka, but we were in time to witness a very special and personal result for D.V. Podmore. I'm surprised he's only been given a local anaesthetic, Pod.
Well, I don't want Saxon to miss anything.
But you are getting the operation on video.
Yeah, this is for Jackie, really, and she's too emotional to cope with it.
Yeah, and this hasn't brought you and Jackie back together.
Well, yeah, Jackie's accepted my explanation that I was nowhere near the Moat House with a hospitality girl whom I've never actually met.
Good.
So it's once again our friends in the printed media getting it totally... Oh,
wow. Oh, look, Pod. Oh.
Goodbye, Saxon! Andy, you can tell Jackie we now have our remote back. Oh, and the carburetor. And that's one of his stumps.
Isn't that a hotel door key?
Is it?
Yeah, it's from the Moat House, Oadby. If you just zoom in, you can see the room number.
Here you are, Saxon. Come on, nice crunchy camcorder for you. Get it down yourself. Yes. Goodbye.
Dave Podmore would like to thank Chris Douglas, Andrew Nichols, Nick Newman, and Richard Wilson for their help in making this programme, which is brought to you by Value Pet Foods UK of Utoxeter. Here, boy, it's value time.